Welcome to Disney A, the Canadian-themed Disney travel podcast. I remembered how to do it.
You did.
It's been a long time.
Super long time. But who are you?
I'm Brandon.
There we go. And I'm Krista. Thank you for pointing. I was really worried there for a minute.
You were worried? Yeah. I don't know. Out of practice.
Yes, you remember how to do it. Off the top of your head and everything. We're back. I know we only missed 1 week in, like, your world, but we recorded all those episodes, like, over a month ago. So.
Yeah, it feels like a long time.
Yeah, it was a long time.
Long time.
Yeah, it was a long time. So, how are you, Brandon?
I'm fine.
Yeah?
I'm excited. It's like spring feels like it's actually here now.
Yeah.
And I'm ready for the warmer weather.
Yeah, we were sitting outside in the sun yesterday. It is supposed to snow again later this week, but like, sorry. But it's supposed to melt right away.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're into spring snow now, not like winter holding on. Yeah, there are levels in Alberta.
Anyway, I'm excited for that.
Agreed. Felt really nice sitting in the sun. We were places where it was sunny.
We did go on warm trips, so we're ready. We're ready for the warm weather.
Absolutely,
now.
It was kind of hard to come back when it's gross. Then after that,
yes.
So that's kind of what we're talking about. We're going to be talking a little bit about your trip.
Well, we're going to catch up on all the news and stuff,
exactly.
And then I'm going to start and I'm going to tell you all about my trip. Again, because I've already told you about it.
Yeah, that's okay. I like hearing it again anyway. It's been a while because I heard about it and then I left.
Yeah. So, whoosh. It's all gone. In one ear and out the other, yeah. You were all Disney focused.
I was Disney focused. Yes, exactly. Which is what we'll talk about next week.
Yeah, and then next week we'll talk about your trip, which probably take longer. So
probably.
We're gonna do the news and because there's been a lot been going on.
Oh man. So yeah, we've got a lot of news to talk about. But before we get to any of that, Brandon, do you have a nerd thing this week?
No, not really. Just working.
Just working and catching up after.
I did start playing a new game while you were away. And it's kind of interesting because it's like a Jaws simulator where you play as the shark and eat people and fish.
Yeah,
but also people.
Did you like the song I was singing for you yesterday? Instead of Baby Shark, I was singing Brandon Shark.
Thankfully, I had my noise-canceling headphones on, so I didn't have to experience that.
I just did it on repeat for like 10 minutes. It's fine.
But yeah, no, it's pretty fun. It's a little repetitive, but you get to swim around and eat people, so that's fun.
So that's fine. it's report card time. I came home to report cards, so that's been me.
Hooray.
Yeah, well, I was in Disney, so it's okay.
Yeah.
Yep. And I also came back kind of sick. So, like, if I sound weird or...
You always sound weird.
This is true. We apologize for that. Or if you hear coughing or sniffing or anything. I'm mostly better. I'm, like, 90% better. Just, yeah.
Yeah, we both got sick on our travels. As it seems like every time you get on a plane, you get sick
basically,
now.
Basically, yeah.
My sickness wasn't too bad. Yours might have been, like, slightly worse, but...
Yeah, but no, it was totally manageable.
Yeah.
Like, it wasn't too bad. All right, so, and Brandon, what are we drinking today?
Just coffee. Mm-hmm. We've been trying to catch up on our sleep this weekend, so we're recording late with coffee.
With coffee. Yeah, have been catching up on sleep, too. Like, holy...
Yeah, you've been sleeping pretty good.
Thank goodness. It's almost like I was in Disney.
I stayed up a little too late on Friday night, but that was my own fault.
That's okay, too.
Yeah.
And that takes us to the news.
Disney A News Update.
Okay, news. A lot of news has happened.
I mean, we were gone for a month, so these things happen.
It does happen. There's been a few things that we'll talk about. We won't be able to talk about everything, basically, because there's just too much to talk about. But some of the big things is the Disneyland Forward Proposal for Disneyland Resort Expansion was approved by the Anaheim Planning Commission. That was back on Monday, March 11th.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I knew it was going up for vote, and...
And then we were gone.
I figured it was pretty much a done deal before the vote. Like, these sorts of things they talk about ahead of time, and then the vote's a formality. But that's good. I think it's Disneyland is such important for that municipality that, like, they should approve things if they're wanting to spend money there and draw in more people. Like,
I totally agree.
That's the entire economy.
I'm still wondering how, but parking apparently lots. They have a plan. Yeah.
They're
People still need to park places.
They are going to have to build more parking structures, which take up less land space.
Than the lots, yeah.
Than the lots. Mm-hmm. They have a lot of flat lots, which is kind of an outdated way to do things.
It's true.
Now, so.
Yeah. Yeah, now they have two parking structures, but they still have land that's used as parking lot, which is, even the cast member parking lot is parking lot, or maybe they'll have to move the hotels over to parking structures instead of lots, or things can be messed with anyway.
And as part of that, they they had the kind of like a mini shareholders meeting, because it's of course the end of Q1.
Yeah.
As I well know in my sad existence as an accountant. So they had a shareholders investors call or something like that, and they talked about Disneyland Forward as being a thing and actually showed some concept art of
Avatar. Yes. And again, no idea on where this is going.
And it's like a possible idea that we might do someday.
Yeah, very blue sky-ish, right? And I get, especially with shareholder stuff, you can't say anything and then go back on it, right? Like, with when you're talking to guests, that's a little bit more doable. Like, not willingly going back on things, but you can be a little bit more blue sky with them.
With investors, the important thing is to set proper expectations and then meet them.
Right, yeah.
Investors don't like surprises, is how you would explain it in the business world. So,
right.
So when they're doing like blue sky, quote unquote, stuff like that for investors, it's just telling them that they're going to be investing this money somehow to generate more revenue.
Right, with these ideas. So we shouldn't be looking at it with like, this is exactly what's going on. But at the same time, I also feel like they have a pretty good idea of this is likely stuff if they're willing to show it to investors.
Yeah, they're going to do something.
Yeah, and it's like a mini land, it looks like.
The concept art was bigger and bolder than I was expecting when they first mentioned a Avatar experience.
Right. You can see at least...
It might have evolved from that.
True.
Like, I don't know.
You can see at least one attraction, maybe up to three. Because there's a couple structures in the background, and it's hard to tell if one's an attraction, or one's like a queue area, or one's like background.
I don't even think... There's a boat ride in the picture, and that's about all you can see. And like a lot of water stuff.
Yeah.
Like they're focusing it on...
It looks beautiful.
The sequel, I would say, with the focus on water, but yeah.
It looks beautiful, and it's more intense than we expected, so we'll see.
We'll see. I don't know. Disney's got to do something. I'll talk about it later, but I did drive by I could see the skyline of Epic Universe, and boy howdy, Disney's got to do something.
Oh, man. that's pretty exciting. We kind of talked about this before. On May 1st, the rest of Critter Country is closing. They are reimagining the two stores there. There's been no word that they're touching the Winnie the Pooh ride.
I think it's basically official that they're not, because they're not renovating Pooh Corner, like that Pooh Corner store either. So
Pooh Corner store, though, is connected to the one that they are renovating. So they are doing the Critter Club is the one that's connected to Pooh Corner. And that was, you know, kind of Splash Mountain theme, so it makes sense. And then the other one, they're switching the Briar Patch to Ray's Berets. And it's going to be like a hat ear store. This is interesting. I think a lot of people, and me included, think that it is testimony that they're going to leave it Critter Country because they're picking the critters specifically to play into.
They like their transitions, and the transition from New Orleans to Critter Country was also always kind of weird, because it went New Orleans, Splash Mountain, like...
Yeah.
Now I think it's actually going to be a better transition, because there's the tie into New Orleans with Tiana, and then her critters tie into the Critter Country.
I think so too. I think the transition, it sounds like it being well-planned anyway, that way. And one little note I really do like, they showed... the storefront plans for Ray's Berets, which is the one that was in the Briar Patch store originally. And it is done in the Splash Mountain lettering, which is like a nice little nod that I really like.
And
I
love stuff like that. That's Ray the Firefly, not Ray the Jedi.
Correct. Different spelling.
I know, but you can't hear spelling. It's just funny to me.
This is very true. We're going to kind of skip past all the merch stuff that came out. And they also had new stuff. Speaking of Tiana's Bayou Adventure, they're, you know, of course, they're introducing the critters and they will have merch associated with them because, of course, they will.
Another reason that they're going to focus on the critters because
they're cute little animals.
Because cute animals sell lots of merch.
There's a turtle playing a harmonica. And right away, I'm like, oh, that's cute.
They're all playing instruments. Yeah. They're like a band. Yeah. Oh, the bunny rabbit is playing a washboard, except it's a license plate.
That's cute. The raccoon is playing, it's supposed to be an accordion, but it looks like one of the paper streamer kind of things. Like, it's all found stuff. I still like the turtle playing the harmonica. Anyway, they introduced that.
Yeah, we're going to see all the merch come out in Disney World first because they've already started full cast testing of the thing. So
yep.
It's very soon there.
Which, I don't know, it's kind of cool to see it all in advance. And then speaking of, they also showed, there's a new mini series
on YouTube.
Yeah, it's like the Imagineering, we call it Imagineering is I think what it's called. Yeah. And you got to see some of the figures that they're doing for Tiana's Bayou Adventure as part of the first episode.
The first episode was focused on animatronics, but the big animatronics they're working on now, of course, are for the new Splash Mountain. So
and they are cool.
They are pretty darn cool.
I'm a fan. I really like what they're doing, and I'm curious to see them put them all together now. We were talking about how the faces are, like, hard to do. We weren't too sure with, like, Tiana and stuff, but then when they had her in her whole outfit and everything, it looks better.
Well, they interview the engineer that does the animatronics and the movement and stuff, and the costume designer.
Yeah.
And they have to work together, and you could tell that they kind of don't like each other that much.
they make each other's jobs harder.
Their jobs kind of intersect and are opposed to each other, because, like, the costumes kind of can block certain animatronic movements, and certain animatronic movements can make the costumes look bad. And it was, anyway, they had like a playful rivalry going on there.
Not like an anti thing, just like you could tell that was interesting to me. It's like, oh yeah, that would be difficult. Star Wars Days have started in Disneyland.
And you got to see it.
And I got to see part of it. Yeah. Like, it started kind of just at the tail end of when we were there. And then the one day was Dapper Day, of the couple days.
So you completely ignored Star Wars, because you weren't even Dapper Star Wars this time.
We weren't Dapper Star Wars, but we did not ignore Star Wars. That's when I met Chewie.
Well, I'm sure we'll hear all about that next week.
Exactly. So I was like, we'll just get into it, but just be aware it is there. There's new characters, new attractions, all that fun stuff.
New merch,
new stuff. New merch, new stuff in general. Now, there's a couple big news items. I'm going to do Paris first.
That's in France.
Yes. So they have Walt Disney Studios is the second park in Paris.
Yeah.
And it's being rethemed and renamed.
Ah, probably good, because it's apparently not very... It's not the best park.
Right. It's being changed to the Adventures Park. Or Adventure Park.
Phuket.
Yeah. It's not a great name. It's not. This news just came out like a couple days ago before recording this.
Interesting.
So...
I'm gonna have to look into Disneyland Paris and the former Studios Park and see what rides...
It was supposed to be kind of like background Hollywood stuff.
Yeah,
which is kind of cool.
They kept trying to do that. Like DCA has a big Hollywood focus. Former MGM Studios, now Hollywood Studios. Disney World has a big Hollywood focus. Hong Kong has a Hollywood Studios type of thing. So like it's a theme that they keep revisiting and maybe not doing the best. I think Disney World was the closest, because they had the movie ride and that was
cool.
Everyone liked that, and
it's
not there anymore.
No, but it seemed cool.
DCA was like a massive failure, and
well, they didn't do it
they
the way
did
they
it
were
half.
Supposed to do it. They did it half. Yeah, they didn't. You, for something like that, you got to go all the way.
Yeah,
Yeah. For downtown Disney, there's all that construction going on. A bunch of it is set to open in May. Paseo, Centrico, and Tiendita are set to open in May. Din Tai Fung will be opening this summer.
Wow.
There's a lot of construction walls in downtown Disney, let me tell you.
Was it off-putting, did you find? Or?
I knew they were there, so it wasn't for me. There was one point where it's like the Centrico area. It actually like cuts off traffic going the, like, you know how you used to be able to walk on either side?
Yes, the full circle is not a full circle.
Yeah, so that would be really the only thing. But because I knew it was there, it wasn't particularly off-putting. I could definitely see that it would be, though, if you were like, it's a lot of construction walls.
And they have opened up some of the, like, pavilion, so it's not as restrictive.
That was really nice. I sent you a picture of the new stage area and everything, and that is really nice,
like,
too.
Like, when it was full construction walls everywhere, it probably would have been even a little worse, so.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's getting there, I guess.
Yeah, well, so that is around the corner, thank goodness. Now, that's not all of Downtown Disney, of course, but that is a massive chunk that is going to be, yay, better.
Yeah.
Good.
Well, so they're finishing up some stuff and closing down other stuff because Tortilla Joe's is now officially closed.
Yep, and I mean, I could talk about that next week, but I was there on its last opening day. Yep, it is closed. It closed end of March, and the Taqueria closed about a week or so later, maybe 2 weeks later. But yeah, they're done. They're gone. And
now there's another empty building sitting there in Downtown Disney. So.
Which they have plans for.
Do they?
Yep. So, in that complex, though, Disney has confirmed two new establishments will kind of take over that area. One will be a steakhouse, and one will be, like, a barbecue area.
Okay.
Yeah. Which might work. I don't know. They're going to have to do some serious renovations.
Maybe, like, a Tex-Mex barbecue?
Yeah, I'm wondering if something like that.
Would work? Because it is very Southwestern.
Mm-hmm.
Style building. So if you made a Southwestern Tex-Mexy
barbecue.
Yeah,
you lean
barbecue,
into the Texas barbecue kind of stuff more.
I could see it. I don't know. I'm glad they're not going to let sit there empty like the ESPN building has been for years
right?
now. So, whatever.
Yeah. That's the thing. When we talk about space at Disneyland, we always come back to why are there empty things sitting there when space is such a premium? But anyway, they have made an announcement. That's big question mark as to when, but at least they now made an announcement that something is going there, thank goodness. Other news, we have Pixar Fest coming up right away, actually. We'll talk about that in a couple weeks. There's menus, and we will be there for Pixar Fest, actually, and Star Wars.
Yeah, Pixar Fest and Star Wars are kind of overlapping, but, like, Star Wars is, of course, focused in Disneyland, like Galaxy's Edge and
right.
Tomorrowland.
Yep.
They're doing both.
Yep.
And, which makes sense.
Of course.
And Pixar Fest is, of course, going to be in DCA where all the Pixar stuff
totally
is.
Totally makes sense, yeah. Yeah, and they overlap a little bit both ways, but it's definitely one focused on each one, which I think is kind of cool. And they've announced a menu for Pixar Fest. We also have a menu for Star Wars. Well, we can talk all about that when we do a planning episode before our trip, though.
Yeah.
About both menu things. And we are not escaping the marketplaces, though.
Yeah, apparently they're having a mini food festival for Pixar Fest.
Which is
so.
Super cool.
What?
So, yeah. Yep. So we'll talk about that then, too. And then the other big news is changes to the Dash Pass system have been announced.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, what it comes down to is it has been horribly abused.
Yeah, it's very convenient. We've been lucky enough to be a guest of a Dash Pass user, and it was very convenient.
It was very convenient.
So the incentive is there to abuse it, which is unfortunate.
It's
there for good reasons for people that need it.
Like our friend.
Yeah. People make TikTokies and stuff like that to how to do it and how to, it's basically a free Genie Plus, but even better because like you get in quicker and you can use it on the same ride
and
multiple times.
And you can do
times.
It to other rides,
And
too.
You can do it to rides that don't even have a Genie Plus on.
We used
on.
It for Peter Pan.
Peter Pan, we used it on the Jungle Cruise even.
That's right.
Like, things like that.
Yep.
And so, I can see why people are abusing it. It's very unfortunate, and I can see why Disney's cracking down, because that's lost revenue for them as well.
It is, and it's unfortunate, because to this point, it's kind of been, you know, they've had good faith in people mm-hmm. doing it, and now people have screwed that up, and that sucks for people who actually legitimately need it.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be harder for the people who legitimately need it now to use it. At the same time, a lot of the online feedback says the people who do legitimately need it are also at a disadvantage when it's being abused. So
yeah.
I guess the question is, how are they going to go about making these changes? Some of the changes are, the wording says it is going to be for people with developmental concerns, and that the guests, previously it was up to 6, and even though most people said, well, I mean, but they're not going to split up a group of, if it's more than 6, and I've seen groups much larger than 6, and now it's down to 4, although they did have a little caveat in there that saying, like children won't, if you're at 5 kids, they're not splitting up, that right. kind of thing. It's,
Yeah, I don't know. I think there's ways to do it. I can talk about how they did it at Universal
as a
comparison,
yeah.
As part of my trip report here.
Yeah, let's remember to talk about that, because I think that's an interesting...
I think it's important. I think it's wrong to focus just on developmental disability.
I agree.
Though that is a big one, because a lot of those developmental disabilities, like, physically cannot be in a confined space
yeah.
with a bunch of people.
That's
and,
true.
And they'll, like...
Like, you just
like,
can't.
Just can't do it. So being able to, like, bypass that and experience the ride is a good thing. But I think there's some physical disabilities that should be included as well. So
I agree. Yeah. So I don't know. And I think that is the big pushback that I've heard online. The only pushback I've actually heard is questions about that and
yeah.
how they're going to go about that. And I think that is going to be a case of, as it gets closer, it's beginning of June. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, they're basically what they're doing is they're kicking off everyone that has been approved as a DAS pass holder,
yeah.
and everybody has to restart from square one.
Yeah.
So we'll find out how it goes.
I guess we will. We'll see if our friend is gonna do it or not. Well, he doesn't have a pass.
He's not. He's not a key holder anymore. So he hasn't been to Disney
right.
for a few.
When he goes
for a
back,
while,
then we'll
but,
see.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, so those were the big news items. There was lots of other stuff. There was lots of merch and things like that. And of course we had Dapper Day happened while we were there, but I'll talk about all that in my kind of trip thing. So, let's head to yours.
What's in the bag?
It's not a head. It's just content.
Oh.
Disney A grab bag. Brandon, you were gone.
Yeah, I left. Ha. Not almost. Our trips were about the same length, basically.
They were like very close.
so the whole reason for the trip was I wanted to go on a cruise with my friend, and
same one who is in Disney, actually.
Yeah, exactly. And well, actually, the whole reason for the trip is Easter fell at an awkward time
yeah.
for us this year.
Right.
The way my job works is I have to be present and working hard every first business week of any given
right.
month.
Right. And because, of course, being a teacher, I'm tied to the school calendar. We often like to travel at Easter. That's actually a time we really enjoy traveling because it like kicks off warm weather and everything. And, you know, both of our brains are pretty fried by that point.
It's a good break time.
It is. It's
yeah.
a good break time. And, but when Easter falls like that, we don't travel.
Yeah. Well, we can't travel together,
mm-hmm.
obviously, because your school is off during when I have to be
exactly.
at work. Exactly. So we saw that was coming and kind of planned separate vacations. For the first time.
In
forever.
Forever.
Yeah, exactly.
Nice.
So that was kind of the kicking off point, and I wanted to go on a cruise and see how that was. I've only been on one cruise ever when I was like 16 years mm-hmm. old.
It
was a Disney cruise back when Disney cruise was like brand new thing.
Mm-hmm.
And, It happened that the cruise that we settled on the second largest cruise ship in the world.
Was the largest when you booked it.
Was the largest when I booked it. We knew it was.
Yeah.
We knew they were launching the new, bigger one before.
It was like a month before.
It
like,
was, like
it was really.
Yeah, it was like a month, maybe a month and a half.
Yeah.
But anyway, whatever. It was still really big and new mm-hmm. and fancy.
Mm-hmm.
It had the itinerary that we kind of wanted. And it happened to be sailing out of Port Canaveral, which is right near Orlando.
Right.
Where all the theme parks
yeah.
are. So I decided, well, if I'm going to be flying into Orlando, I should probably go to a theme park.
Yeah.
And I decided that Disney World was too expensive.
Well, I mean, Disney's pretty...
Divorce lawyers are very pricey.
This is true. That was funny.
Krista did not want me to, would not have wanted me to go to Disney World.
You didn't even ask because you knew how that conversation was going to go.
So, yeah, Disney World was right out, but I figured I could convince you that it was okay if I went to Universal.
And I thought that was a great idea.
And you did. Universal in Florida is much larger, even with only two parks right now. Much larger than Universal in Hollywood. There's some similarities for some rides, but it is just another level of thrill.
Mm-hmm.
Like the high-end rides there are high-end, like competing with like a Six Flags type of situation,
right, which
so
you real is very
it's right up my alley you, that's yeah. That's what
I'm meh on the thrilling, but
that's
yeah.
So do you want me to just do in like chronological order of how my trip went,
I think,
Universal first and then
let's
talk about the cruise a little bit.
I do want to hear about you driving past the new park though as well.
That'll
as
be
part of that.
That'll be okay. The transitional period.
Let's do that then. Let's go chronological.
Okay, so we flew in on a Wednesday,
mm-hmm.
and then our cruise was leaving on the Sunday.
Right.
So we had three full days at Universal, and we stayed on property, which I think is, when I went to Universal when I was 16 as part of that whole original cruise ship, we didn't stay on property. We stayed on property for Disney,
right.
And that's like a super, it's kind of weird to not stay on
right.
Disney property at Disney World. There's so many hotels, and being part of that Disney bubble is such a thing. Universal's starting to get that way. There's a lot more hotels
at different price ranges.
Mm-hmm. We stayed at like the low end one. It was called Dockside Endless Summer.
Okay.
So there's two Endless Summers. They're kind of right across the street from each other. They're both huge,
mm-hmm.
Like mega resorts, but they're a lot nicer than I was expecting for being like the bottom of the.
Mm-hmm.
I would compare the amenities and everything to the Disneyland hotel.
Oh, really? Wow.
Like the hotel pools were huge and had like a nice big fancy bar.
Awesome.
At each of them, like so there was two pools at the one, the Dockside Endless Summer. I don't know what was at the other one because I didn't go, and
right.
I don't even know if you're allowed to go. Whatever, it doesn't matter.
Doesn't
it's across the street. It's not like super easy to get there. Oh. Like a big street,
right?
But I was, like, quite impressed, because I hung out at the pool when I arrived. I was there for a few hours by myself, and the pool...
Yeah, your friend's flight was coming in after.
The pool was very, very nice. A little shallow,
mm-hmm.
but it has, like, a shallow, like, walk-in
nice.
Type of thing, and they have real sand...
That's cool.
...around and stuff like that, and the bar was pretty nice.
Mm-hmm.
And the room was nice. And the shuttle service, there's a shuttle directly to the parks, and that worked out quite well. And I quite like staying there. I think I would stay there again.
Nice.
The only argument is if you go for like a higher, the deluxe ones, you get an express pass included,
mm-hmm.
which express passes are very expensive. So if you bake that into your hotel price and it's also within walking distance, then that can... be better for rope drop kind of thing.
Right.
Because, of course, the shuttles don't start till 7, which is ahead of time. The benefit of staying on property is you get early access. While we were there, it was only to Islands of Adventure.
Okay.
Which is the second park that they have there. The Universal Studios proper never had early access. They do. They typically rotate, but... Just
while you were there.
Just while we were there, it was only Islands of Adventure. I think it's because they were doing a lot of Mardi Gras stuff at the Universal Studios, so they
right.
it was more, that was more focused on the evening kind of thing.
That
I guess
makes sense.
I don't know, but you're beholden to the bus schedule, and so even though we were on like maybe the second bus every morning, by the time you get dropped off, go through security, walk all the way to the Islands of Adventure park, everyone else that are at closer hotels have kind of already are ahead of you. We did pretty well.
Yeah. But there is that is a consideration.
It is a consideration. And then as the Endless Summer ones are so huge, the bus ride to get home, because Universal closes quite early, it was at busy season, and it was spring break while I was there, and it was quite busy.
Mm-hmm.
The park still only stays open till 9.
Wow.
So there's not waves of people leaving. Pretty much everybody leaves at 9. Some people stay in City Walk and have dinner or whatever. Like, City Walk's quite busy, but a lot of people just go back to the hotel.
And you went to City Walk your first night.
Yes. Yeah. And that actually surprised me. I thought City Walk's technically open till midnight.
Mm-hmm.
We got there at 10 and basically everything was closed.
Really? Wow.
There was only a couple restaurants. Like, there was very slim pickings for restaurants being open.
Mm.
There were some people still eating, of course, the last seating is like before 10.
Wow, that's crazy.
Yeah, so it was a little bit of a culture shock coming from Disneyland.
Of course, where everything's like midnight.
Midnight, yeah, midnight. So, and then Downtown Disney, 1 a.m., like World of Disney's open till 1 a.m. kind of thing. Like, it was a little bit strange, but you got used to it, whatever.
Did you like what you had at City Walk, though?
We had a pizza. It was a wood-fired oven pizza and some craft beer, and yeah, it was a lovely dinner.
That's a nice
actually.
Way to like.
It wasn't even that expensive, honestly. Oh, okay. I mean, like, it was expensive, but it
proportional to theme park.
Yeah, I mean,
stuff.
I got a big thin crust wood fired pizza for less than $20 US,
I'm just like, that's a nice way. Like, we just arrived, we're like settling in, we're gonna theme park it up. The next morning.
Yeah, and we did rope drop every morning.
Mm-hmm. Do you want to quickly talk about the Dash Pass thing here?
So we rope drop every morning. I had purchased a photo pass. Universal's photo pass is interesting because it is a separate thing, whereas like at Disneyland you buy Genie Plus and then you get photo pass included. Yeah. They have a whole separate program, and it's like $89-$90 for one day.
Okay.
And I bought a 3-day package for like $120.
Right.
It's like, whatever.
Obviously buy that.
Yeah. If you're there for multiple days, it becomes a little bit more reasonable. I would say it's great because you get the ride photos, and there's a lot of ride photos at Universal, and that's cool. They're pretty zoomed in on your ride vehicle, so I don't, whatever, but it's a memory, right?
Right.
They do have people walking around, like photo pass people to take your picture, but they're very, very few and far between.
Okay.
And I did have a couple of them never show up in my account.
That sucks.
Especially, like, one that I really wanted.
Oh, that really sucks.
Yeah.
That really sucks.
So, I don't know. They theoretically had photo pass at the water park, but I wasn't sure, like, they have ride photos at the water park, like on different water slides. They have photos at the end. I don't know how you get those on your account because it never worked.
Weird.
So that was kind of a bummer,
especially when it's cost that much money.
Yeah.
But
I think I got my money's worth. I did get a couple of good photo shoots and lots of ride photos because I was on lots of rides.
Yeah,
so
that's awesome. Yeah.
Our first morning of rope drop, we actually had to go to guest services for my friend to activate his disability, whatever they call it,
the equivalent of a Dash Pass.
Universal does that differently. You have to apply to an online portal and submit your reasoning, and then do an interview, and they give you like a card that you then take to guest services, and then they give you kind of like a pamphlet.
Okay.
It's all analog. They do it at Universal. It's not connected to the app or anything like that. And what you do is you have this little piece of paper, and you go up. Each ride has a person with a clipboard in front of it, and they look at your thing. And each ride has a password, because like, you can't just write on it yourself with a return time. They give you a return time with the right password, and it's basically the standby waiting time. Less 20 minutes or something is what your return time is. So you save a little bit of time, and then you end up going in through the Express Pass entrance, if that ride has an Express Pass entrance. Because it works on everything, which was really nice, because the most popular ride at Islands of Adventure is Hagrid's roller coaster. Okay. The motorcycle roller. And that does not have Express Pass.
That's weird that it doesn't have Express
Pass. It's because it's the newest ride.
Oh, okay. It will have Express Pass.
I'm probably. Sure it will, yeah. It looks like it's set up to be able to have it because they had a whole, like, where we walked through was basically an entire lane that was not being used or whatever, right? And then there's, like, a little back door.
Yeah.
So I'm sure that will be Express Pass eventually when it's, like, calmed down a little bit. I don't know how much it's going to calm down because that's basically, like, the Cars of Universal now.
Never it's calmed like, down.
It's probably a little more intense than Cars is, but it's still, like, full four quadrant. Awesome. Like, kids can go on it, and teens will like it because it's still a pretty good roller coaster. Yeah. But there's some dark ride bits to it and things like that.
That's the part I would be most excited to ride, of course.
Yeah. So, that was very interesting because Rope Drop, like, it was early access. There's lots of hotels that have early access, so it's not super exclusive early access. everyone beelines it for Hagrid's.
It is the Cars.
Yeah. It was already up to 90, like, when we were picking up our stuff that first morning, so we were delayed a little bit. Like, I got my photo pass figured out, and he got his
pamphlet. But still during early access.
It was, like, it was maybe 8:20, 8:30. Early access starts at 8, you're there an hour, the park actually opens at 9, it was already 90 minutes line.
Jeez. That's crazy.
For Hagrid's, so, and everything else that's open, not very much is open for early access either. Mm-hmm. Everything else is open is still, like, basically a walk-on, because everyone's in line for Hagrid's already.
Wow. So, thank goodness you were able to use this.
Thank goodness. Yeah. Well, we did Hagrid's once a day when we were there, so.
Wow.
It worked out.
Yeah. Now, you did not beeline to Hagrid's.
Well, we did, because we beelined to Hagrid's and got a return time.
Oh, yeah, okay.
that was the benefit of doing that, yeah. And then, Islands Adventure is broken up into the different islands. They have a superhero island, and that's all done, like, comic book style.
Right.
It's all Marvel themed, but it's comic book Marvel, like, animated and comic book style, so it's not really MCU. They do have a little bit of MCU merch, kind of, but it's,
you got to be careful with that stuff.
Yeah. I mean, they don't want to be advertising for their competitors anyways. But yeah, so it's very comic book. It actually works out that way to kind of differentiate it. They have the Dr. Seuss, there's the kitty area there. It's all Dr. Seuss themed. There's some Dr. Seuss rides and the characters come out, like I saw Thing One and Thing Two, and the Grinch was out too, and stuff like that. I don't know, pretty good. I did eat green eggs and ham poutine there. That was nice. What other lands do they have? They have like a kind of like myth Greek land, but that's basically on its way out. The only thing there anymore is the Mythos restaurant.
Right.
They used to have a Sinbad style show, I think it was.
Okay.
That whole area is where the show building is still there. And it looks really cool. Like, it's like kind of ancient Greek ruins type of thing, but there's nothing there.
Okay.
Which is weird. And then, like, the Dueling Dragons roller coaster used to be part of that land.
Okay. Which you liked before.
That was, when I went, that was like my favorite roller coaster. Mm-hmm. They, of course, took that out to build Hogsmeade. Now Hogsmeade kind of takes over that whole area. And so they're going to have to do something about the Greek, the myth area. It's
off-putting?
Well, it's not off-putting, but it's kind of a waste, right? Like, they have to, I don't know, either expand Harry Potter Town or do something else. Like, I don't know. It's weird. And then the other big land that I can remember is Jurassic Park, which I really liked. They have a small kids area with like a small kids, couple kids rides. They have a meet and greet with like the Raptors.
Cool.
They have the original River Adventure.
Oh, so cool.
That's still in existence. The one that they renovated in Hollywood. Mm-hmm. That's now Jurassic World. No, they have the original,
which is better.
I think it's probably better, yeah.
I like the gates. That's the only thing. I like the gates.
Well, and then they have the actual gates as you're walking into the land. And I have some pretty cool pictures of myself in front of the gates.
I posted one.
Yeah, that's really cool. And, like, the John Williams score hits you right in the face, and it's just like, yes! But the biggest attraction that I was most looking forward to in the trip is in Jurassic Park Land. They built a new coaster shortly after COVID, I think, it finished. Like, I don't know. Time has no meaning, whatever. But the Velocicoaster.
Yeah.
And it is a coaster with a capital C. It is huge. It dominates the skyline of, you can see it basically from everywhere in the park.
It looks terrifying.
And it is amazing.
They can't see your face right now doing the happy smile.
It's so good. It's so good. So it is a launch coaster. There's actually two launches. It launches you at the beginning, and then it really launches you, halfway through.
Oh, man.
And it actually only goes upside down twice, I think.
I don't know.
But it has some really, really fun elements. The second launch launches you up a 155-foot tower at 70 miles an hour, and then you basically go straight back down and continue going through the rest of the coaster. It's quite a long ride, actually. I think it probably approaches 2 minutes, which is quite long for a roller coaster. And it just feels awesome.
Oh man,
so and good.
You rode it how many times?
Eight. I think we hit eight.
Eight in 3 days.
Because everyone was trapped on Hagrid's. So if you have early access and you don't care about Hagrid's, you can ride. You could probably ride Velocicoaster 3 times in the first hour.
That's crazy.
And then as the day goes on, it becomes like a 2 hour lineup.
Right.
2 hour plus lineup. It was spring break. Very busy. The queue itself of that thing is very cool.
Yeah, you showed me a walkthrough, and I said I'd actually like to go in the queue and then take the chicken exit.
They have some animatronics, and they have some good Easter eggs in the displays and stuff like that, and the intro videos along the way are very well themed. You got Mr. DNA and the evil doctor guy talking to you, and then some of the Jurassic World people are telling you about the ride, because it's all in universe. They've built this roller coaster in Jurassic World is the idea, and I don't know, it works. It's an A+ ride for me. Yeah,
best ride you've ever been on?
Oh, by far.
Wow, that's really cool.
By far. Yeah. just even if it was just a roller coaster, off in a field, whatever, it would be top notch. But the theming adds to it. I think it's cool.
And they did well with the theming, which I think is hard in a roller coaster.
It is. So that's Universal Islands of Adventure,
right?
And then they have a whole nother park, which is the Studios version, and they kind of try to recreate a studio backlot feeling. It's fake. It's not like Universal Studios in Hollywood, which is an actual working studio. So they don't have a tram tour. What they do have is several rides that mimic those sections of the tram tour. They have a Fast and the Furious ride.
Okay.
And what it is you get loaded onto party buses, which look suspiciously like trams. And then you go through the little video thing, just like on the tram tour.
That sounds terrible.
It's a little... It's not great, but if you embrace the cheesiness, it's actually better than the tram tour section of Fast and the Furious. I don't know. The pre-show and stuff is pretty good. You walk through their garage and stuff, see lots of cool cars. And there's some interesting pre-show moments with actual cast members interacting with videos, which I always... And they kind of play up the cheese factor and make jokes and stuff. And I like that sort of thing.
Right.
And then you have a King Kong ride that, again, is like you're on a tram tour going through the jungle and whatever. Okay. And that section of the tram tour is better than the Fast and the Furious one. And then this ride, it adds some more elements that makes it even cooler.
Okay.
So that's fine. They have the Mummy ride. Mm-hmm. It's similar, but bigger.
Okay.
And I would say probably better.
Okay.
Similar, but that's fine. What else do they have? They have a lot of shows there, actually. I didn't go to any of them. But they have lots of shows. They have, like, a Hollywood, like, a monster makeup thing.
That's
and,
cool.
And,
I like stuff like that.
They don't have a stunt show anymore. They used to, I think it was a Bourne stunt show. Okay. Or maybe they did. I don't know. I didn't mm-hmm. pay much attention to the shows. Yeah, I think there's still a Bourne stunt show. They used to have a different stunt show that was closed down. That was off. It's quite a large area that, like, wraps around. They have a whole Simpsons land.
Yeah.
It's much bigger. I like the one in Hollywood better.
Oh, okay.
The compactness of the Hollywood one gives you better sight lines and you feel more immersive, whereas this is just kind of like there.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
Yeah. Mm. I don't know. And then, like, tucked away in the back corner, they have a... It's supposed to be like a World's Fair pavilion that the Men in Black ride is in.
Oh, okay.
And it's really tucked away because there's... Like, everything else that used to be around it is not open anymore. So it's kind of weird that way. But it almost lends itself to the theming of, like, this abandoned expo that then they're using for the training.
Right. For Men in Black. Right. Yeah.
That ride is pretty cool, actually. Like, it's definitely showing its age, but it's...
Mm-hmm.
It's a good it's a good little shooty ride. I like it better than Astro Blasters or whatever, so whatever. That's fine. What else do they have there? It was Mardi Gras when we were when we were there, so they had lots of food booths set up, and then as you got closer, like, they had a parade at 7:30 every night, but before the parade, a lot of the people in their big fancy Mardi Gras costumes would come out and, like, interact with guests.
That's
and stuff like that. Throw beads and things. So that was fun. I thought Mardi Gras was really cool. We did try some of the food. It was good, like, very good.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't eat a ton of food at Universal, but, like, Universal Hollywood's food was always terrible.
Yeah.
Anything I had
nice
in Florida was good.
Nice.
Like, the food booths, since it's a special thing, I would expect those are probably better than typical, but I had food at the water park, and that was, like, excellent.
Oh,
so
cool.
I don't
That's
know.
Good.
Yeah, I don't know. What else do they have that I enjoyed? Well, I really like the Mummy. That was probably my second.
Oh, really? Okay.
Second favorite. Just
I was gonna ask.
It's like a nice easy ride and, like, really enjoyable.
You were really disappointed in the Minions thing.
Yeah, so they're one of the new rides at that place. They have, like, a Minions area now because they have, like, the Minions Mayhem ride, which is the same. I didn't actually even go on it, but I'm pretty sure it's exactly the same as the one in Hollywood. They have a new ride, which is, like, based on the Minions 2 movie where they go to VillainCon.
Right.
And it's a shooty ride, but it's not actually a ride. You stand on a conveyor belt and shoot screens.
And you're like, oh.
Yeah. Didn't care for that at all. No, it was... I like shooty rides, and they don't have to be, like... Spider-Man shooty ride, you're just shooting screens, but...
Right.
I don't know. It's a little more immersive, and, like, actually sitting down on a ride vehicle is better than standing on a conveyor belt.
Fair.
You're standing and walking around all day. I want to sit down on the ride
kind of
thing. Like, I don't know. Whatever.
I get it.
So that's fine. They do have quite a few meet and greets in that area. Like, I saw the orphans that grew
into the girls.
The girls.
Mm-hmm.
They were out quite a bit and stuff like that.
Right.
I'm sure Gru was out every once in
Kids
a while.
Kids would like
and
it.
Minions, of course.
Of course.
Kung Fu Panda was out quite a bit as well. Not
new movie coming
not
out.
In that
yeah.
area, but, like, to advertise the new movie, that makes sense.
Totally.
So that's pretty cool. The big roller coaster at Universal Studios, other than the Mummy,
mm-hmm.
which is inside so you can't see it, but there's another big roller coaster that's called the Rip Ride Rocket.
Okay. Oh, that's the sound one.
Yeah, so the idea of that one is they're trying to film a new music video.
Okay.
And they need your help to film the new music video.
Okay.
And so the gimmick of that is you can pick what song is going to play while you're on the ride. The selection is actually pretty limited because you can buy the video
okay.
of your ride with the music track on it, so they only have licensing for a select few. But there is a secret, and if you're going to go on this ride, I would suggest looking up the secret mm-hmm. menu. As long as you don't want to buy the video, because you can't buy the video right. if you use the secret menu, because they don't have the licensing. But you press and hold on the logo for 10 seconds, and then you can enter a 3-digit code and to pick a song. And so you have to look up what code for what song you want.
Right.
I found Freebird, and it was perfect. It was excellent.
Nice.
So that made me like that ride even more, like when I got... figured out I could have Freebird because the songs that they had were not great.
But Freebird was cool. And you had no interest in getting the video, so
I had
fine.
No interest in getting the video. I shouldn't say. I picked Darude Sandstorm mm-hmm. the first time I rode because that was an included one. And that one worked pretty well nice. With it, too, yeah. So there you go.
That'd be a good recommendation then.
I liked that was probably my second favorite, like, real roller coaster. Mm-hmm. I don't even think the Mummy is, like, a real roller coaster. It's close. I don't know. Whatever. But... It is quite intense and a little rougher than that. But I liked it. I still liked it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like the Incredible Hulk roller coaster, which is
a lot of people love that.
I know. It's a very intense roller coaster, and I like that sort of thing. And I remember being very excited to go on it when I went the first time, 25 years ago or whatever. Right. And being disappointed then, and I was like, oh, maybe, I don't know, maybe I just, like...
Maybe you, like, grew into it now.
Yeah, whatever. No, I don't like it. It's all positive G-force elements.
Oh, okay.
And I like negative G-force right. elements. Velocicoaster's all negative G-force elements. So, that, yeah. Yeah, it basically is like trying to suck your brain out your butt.
Okay.
The whole time. That's what it feels like. You're like... Mm. Going through the loop-de-loops and stuff, and it's just like... You're looking like an Apollo astronaut in the centrifuge. So, Incredible Hulk, not my favorite. Rip Ride Rocket was, like, kind of in between those.
Okay.
There's some rough, intense elements that kind of beat you up a little bit, but it was still really, really fun.
Okay.
What other rides were there? The Simpsons ride is exactly the same. The Transformers ride is exactly the same. Back in Islands of Adventure, they in the comic book section, I didn't talk about the Spider-Man ride.
Oh, yeah.
Which was the original... It's the same style as Transformers, the same kind of vehicle, and they have, like, 3D effects and things like that. Spider-Man built, like, 20 years before Transformers, 10 times better.
That's crazy.
There's more practical sets...
Probably
it's,
why.
Yeah. And the, I don't know, just the effects are better and mm-hmm. and the fidelity of the video. The problem I have with Transformers in general is there's like too much detail and too much going on. It looks just like kind of gray blob.
Right.
You can't follow the action very well. Whereas Spider-Man fighting the Sinister Six, it
works.
It works. Good. So, I don't know. Yeah. Spider-Man, great ride.
Transformers. Aged okay.
Aged. Perfectly, although they were having trouble keeping it open.
Ah, okay.
Harry Potter. Okay, so they have two Harry Potter lands,
yes.
And they are connected by the Hogsmeade, the Hogwarts Express train.
Did you ride it?
I did. Yeah. I rode it twice. You have to have a park hopper to do it because, mm-hmm. of course, the lands are in different areas or different parks, so you have to have a ticket to go to right. both parks, which is a sneaky little thing yep. to make. I would say it's probably not worth buying a park hopper if that's why you're buying a park hopper. It's
right.
It's pretty tame.
It's a train.
It's a train. You get loaded into your compartment, and there's a screen to show like what you're. The countryside, like looking out the window, and
right.
and you see stuff, I don't know, Harry Pottery stuff, whatever. And then there's like shadows going across your train compartment of like people walking down the hall. It's fine, whatever. Quite a long lineup at a couple of times, which is would be extra disappointing because like you can just walk to the other park probably way faster.
But if you're a Harry Potter,
if you're a Harry Potter fan, whatever. They have the Magical Journey ride and the Flight of the Hippogriff are look exactly the same
okay.
as the Hollywood ones. They're Hogwarts, of course, they have more room, so that's still forced perspective, but much, much bigger.
Right.
quite impressive. That was cool. Magic Journey is still, it's good. I like that ride. Yeah. Maybe not great if you get motion sickness.
Yeah,
I drank an entire Slurpee before I went on it, and that didn't feel great. I'm not prone to motion sickness, thank goodness, but I was like, it was sitting a little heavy in my gut at that point. I'm just like, oh.
That might not have been good.
Anyway, still a fun ride, though.
Yeah.
But the other Harry Potter land, which is in Universal Studios, is Diagon Alley.
Which is cool.
Which is very cool. They were brave enough to actually, it's like completely hidden. There's no signs for it. It's, you kind of like go through, it looks like it's just like a regular wall that has little cutouts on the left and right side, and you just like kind of tuck in, and then suddenly you're in this like back alley
that is, really that is cool. Like
pure Harry Potter theming. Mm-hmm. The theming of that area was like next level because it's the newest Harry Potter right. land, and they just keep expanding and expanding. Very, very, very cool. The shops in there were very neat. And then the big attraction in there is the Escape from Gringotts.
Okay.
The queue, like, the outside area of it's, like, Gringotts Bank, and there's a big dragon sitting on it. Big very animatronic cool. dragon, and, like, I think every half hour it breathes fire.
Yeah, that's cool.
Very cool. And then once you go into the ride, you're, like, in the bank, and there's, like, animatronic goblins counting money, being right. all banker. Just, like, very impressive, ornate bank atrium.
Yeah.
Like, very, very cool. And then you kind of like go into the depths, and they have like the safety deposit boxes and all that stuff. So the line's very impressive. I was extremely disappointed in the ride.
Right.
Kind of lame.
Oh, really?
If you're a Harry Potter person, I guess it'd be kind of cool, but it's not very thrilling.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like entirely screen based.
Oh, I really don't like the screen.
Whereas, like, Magic Journey, the ride itself is pretty good. Like, it's an interesting ride vehicle mm-hmm. concept. They use screens, but better.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like the fake flying feels pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
And then, but they use a lot of, like, real animatronics.
As well.
Whereas this was, like, almost all screens. And the ride vehicle reminded me more of, like, Indiana Jones
okay.
type of vehicle. And the thrill, there just wasn't any thrill.
Okay.
So I didn't, yeah, whatever.
Disappointing. But the area itself is very cool.
Yeah, Diagon Alley is pretty darn cool, and mm-hmm. I'm curious to see what they end up doing at Epic Universe.
Mm-hmm.
Then we spent an entire day at the water park, Volcano Bay, which was very cool.
Right?
An excellent water park. It was quite busy, which... I mean, it was spring break, so that is what it is. But there's a lot of good water slides there. I got to go on my first water coaster,
ooh.
Which is that's the newest thing. They on the Disney cruise ships, they have like the Aqua Duck and
yes.
the Aqua Mouse. It's like that.
Okay.
It works great. You're like on a raft, and mm-hmm. and it feels like a roller coaster. Like you're going up and down, and they shoot you up a hill and stuff.
Really?
Well, yeah, it was really fun. You would like it. Like
okay.
it's not like crazy intense, but it's pretty good and
yeah.
and it feels fun, and yeah, it was a blast. I'd be curious to see what they do with like the videos and stuff in the Mickey Mouse version
totally.
And stuff.
Well, we'll find out one day.
Whatever. But yeah, I really like that, and there was some good water slides. They had one, they had a pair that was called Oh No and Oh Yeah. So the whole thing is themed like kind of like a tiki
right.
South Pacific area. So like all the water, it actually kind of makes it tough because the water slides have weird like South Pacific style names.
Okay.
So like it's tough to say which one. It's hard to keep track. But the pair of Oh No and Oh Yeah,
oh, yeah.
are really good. These ones you shoot out and there's like a drop.
Oh no.
So like the Oh Yeah was like a 3-foot drop, and the Oh No was like a 7-foot drop or something like that. So like you would have been fine. It wasn't that well, like it wasn't that bad.
I don't believe you.
But like and you just shoot out and kind of sploosh down into the pool. That was fun. I
yeah.
like those ones. They had three trapdoor ones. The big one that like is at the very top that you shoot down the main part of, that one's just straight down and
oof.
In a tube. A see-through tube, actually, and it's like the whole idea is you're being like sacrificed to the volcano or
funny.
Whatever. And then they had other ones that were almost as high but less intense. The drop was you drop, but then you go down in a tube and like do twisty turnies and stuff
evens
like that.
Evens you out a little bit.
So you're not just going straight down like 100 feet or whatever, right?
Right.
I think you could handle that one. You'd be scared, but I think you could handle those ones.
Maybe.
They weren't that bad.
Maybe.
And then they had two different lazy rivers, mm-hmm. which was probably my favorite part.
That's mostly, part I'd like.
mostly because you didn't have to wait in line.
Yeah.
And there was a lot of lines. So they had like a regular lazy river that was lazy, and you mm-hmm. had lots of tubes in it, and you kind of float and relax, and that's good, and just watch the Florida sun so you don't get sunburnt.
Yep.
And then they had the other river, the crazy river, I guess is what they would say, and that you have to put on a life jacket and you body surf,
and it's
very quick. Mm-hmm. There's jets all the way along, and then the one section. Periodically, like every minute and a half or so, you hear the like drums and the chanting, and like they're mm-hmm. calling on their water god or something, and a big gush, like a wave pool style gush of water comes.
Oh, that's like a big tidal wave.
Really, really, really cool.
I'd like that.
Yeah, I absolutely love the Crazy River. I spent probably an hour just looping it.
Oh, that's fun. Yeah, I get that. I would do that.
Yeah,
too.
Yeah, really, really fun. I think you would like it too.
Yeah.
And then there was like quite a few raft rides that were pretty cool. And yeah, no, it's and a good like a massive wave pool. The waves weren't very intense, but it was and it's like at the foot of the volcano, so it's like a good view. The volcano looks very cool. There's sand all along the main bay where the wave pool is, and yeah, it's a good time. It's definitely the best water park I've ever been to.
That's
and
really
I
cool.
went to Blizzard Beach, one of the Disney mm-hmm. ones 25 years ago.
Right.
That was pretty good too. Kind of similar. This one is newer and it has some pretty interesting elements. You got your Tapu Tapu band. This is how you wait in line for things, which is good and bad. Like you kind of have to be picky and choosy of what you're signing up to be waiting in line for, and it felt like it didn't work perfectly.
Right.
When it was your turn to go, you still had to wait like half an hour for some things, like depending on what it was. So I don't know. Whatever. Then the Tapu Tapu actually works throughout the park. There's different things you can tap, and it'll shoot water at people in the lazy river.
That's cool.
Or
that's more cool.
Or like do sounds or whatever. So
interactive stuff.
So yeah, lots of interactive stuff. Yeah. I'm a fan of Volcano Bay. I would probably try and get there right at early access mm-hmm. to like really get on the slides that you wanted to. We kind of messed that up so I could go onto Velocicoaster a couple more times instead.
So worth it?
Yeah, definitely worth it. Yeah. Yeah. So that's fine. I would go back for sure. Yeah.
Nice. Cool.
So that was Universal. We did it all in 3 days for sure. I want to go back for Velocicoaster if nothing else. But then it was time. Now this is long already, but I probably won't have to talk too much about the cruise.
Well, I do want to hear about you driving past the.
Yeah. No, I'm gonna get there. I'm just looking at the time.
Oh yes.
That's fine. So we stayed at the Universal Resort until the morning of the cruise, and Port Canaveral's just assuming that you use the toll freeway, it's about an hour, a little less, from Universal to the port.
Give yourself an hour.
Yeah, we just took an Uber,
mm-hmm.
To do that, and whatever. I'm kind of like zoning out, knowing that I'm going to be putting my body through heck on this cruise ship with my drink package.
That was the plan.
And driving by like the swamps and stuff. Mm-hmm. Very swampy there. Lots of pretty birds and stuff. I didn't see any alligators. For better or for worse.
Yeah,
and you drive kind of, because like Port Canaveral's on the other side of town. So you're driving through the city for a bit and as we're exiting the city, I look over and I can see a big yellow roller coaster top.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, oh my goodness, that's Epic Universe right there.
Right.
And yeah, you could see, I could see a little bit. So mostly the big roller coaster, but a few other things like the hotel.
And that's the one in the main area, the big one,
the
right?
big, yeah, yeah, the big yellow one in Celestial Park, whatever the racers or whatever it's
Starlight,
called.
Starlight, whatever it is. Yeah.
Mostly that. And then also like the Helios Hotel with the the big dome.
Right.
That's, like, mostly finished. Could see that, and I was like, oh, man, that looks cool. Yeah. I want to go.
Yeah. We will, one day.
Yeah.
Yeah. We got to let it open and then be open for a couple years first, I think.
Yeah, I don't know.
You want to go back to Velocicoaster.
It might almost be worth it to go when it's new and then the other parks are empty.
Oh, I like Velocicoaster.
Like Velocicoaster. I don't know.
All right.
And then there's always Express Pass.
Yeah.
Is a consideration. Because that works pretty,
mm-hmm.
pretty well. Mm-hmm. Even when it's super busy.
Right.
It's expensive, mm-hmm. but probably worth it since you're spending so much money. Whatever. So, yeah, the Uber to Port Canaveral worked out pretty well. It is... I can see why people don't love Port Canaveral because it is farther away from the airport than a lot of cruise ports would be.
Right.
So, I don't know. We're used to driving a bit, like...
True.
Often when we go to all-inclusives, we drive quite a ways south of Cancun anyway, so I would put it on comparison to that. It's an easy drive. It's just down the freeway, and then you're right there at the port, and bingo, mm-hmm. bango, whatever. Then we were on the cruise ship, and you're in a completely different world.
You said that it was very easy.
Shockingly easy.
Do you want to just talk about the cruise ship again?
Yeah, so we went on, it was Wonder of the Seas,
mm-hmm.
Which is an Oasis-class ship, the biggest Oasis-class ship, and I believe max capacity is something like over 6,000 passengers. So I was expecting it to be kind of quite a to-do to get on board, but we got out of our Uber. There was bag porters right there. You have your little room number on your bag already. You drop that off, and you're... I've waited much longer to check into a regular hotel
right.
than what they usher you through. You do, like, a very brief security.
Yeah.
They check your passports, and then you're sitting in, like, the holding area, and we were there for maybe 5 minutes before they were shipping you up the gangway.
Mm.
And then you're on board, and you get all you can drink, all you can eat.
And then you went, okay.
Okay.
Well, you booked your dining, and...
Yeah, so I had a drink package. I keep saying that. I made use of that.
What was the focus of your trip, Brandon? Yeah.
And a dining package. So there is a lot of specialty restaurants, mm-hmm. like your main buffet and your main dining room and some other quick service places for lunch and, like, midnight pizza and stuff. That's all included with your regular fare. But there is quite... this is a big ship, and there's quite a few restaurants that are specialty restaurants that you either have to pay more for or buy a dining package
right.
for. And I wanted to try some of them, so I just got a dining package so I could enjoy it without worrying about it. And I would say that's probably worth it. It's tough. I can't compare. I didn't go to the main dining room. I think the food there is probably good.
But if you're, like, really into food.
But if you're really into food, especially seafood.
Right.
The sushi restaurant, we became, like, kind of minor celebrities there because we went every day. With an unlimited dining package, you can have two dinners.
Yeah, you found that out.
Yeah, so we would go for sushi and sake as, like, an appetizer every day and then go to another restaurant
right.
with our main reservation. And that got us into trouble a couple of times, just being, like, really full.
Yeah.
But it was worth it.
Worth it because you got all the sushi and sake.
Yes. The one time we went, we had a different waiter, and our regular waiter walked by our table and saw we had a small bottle of sake, and he's like, oh, no, 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 no. And 2 minutes later, he comes back, big bottle of sake.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
Drank a lot of sake.
Apparently.
But the highlights for the restaurants
mm-hmm.
Was probably, well, obviously the sushi that we went to. Really good sushi. Like, fantastic.
Nice.
We even got a special off the menu because we were minor celebrities there. The chef made us a special thing. Like, we
really?
We had ordered and eating and whatever, and we didn't order dessert that time because we were going to go have another meal. And instead, our waiter shows up and is like, oh, this is compliments of the chef. And it was like this thing. I honestly don't even know what it was, but it was like thinly sliced fish on a little bed of rice with little mini jalapeno peppers on top with like what some kind of awesome sauce on this fish.
That's sushi, so cool.
Like, oh, and it was so good. I'm like, oh my goodness.
Yeah, that's amazing.
And just like, just the right amount of flavor, just a little hit of spice and whatever. Yeah, so that was fun. The seafood restaurant Hooked. If you like seafood, that is worth it in and of itself. Excellent oysters that they ran out of on the last day. Still bitter about that. But amazing lobster. If you're a lobster fan.
And you're not.
I'm not, but I would be if I ate there all the time.
Okay.
It was like just delicious, the best red Maine lobster you've ever seen.
Like, that's the stuff that makes people lobster fans.
Yeah. Nice. And so we went there, the first time we went there for lunch, I had a double order of oysters to myself.
Right.
My friend doesn't like oysters. He had a bad experience one time. Oh. So I had a dozen oysters and two lobster tails.
Jeez.
And a steak. Because I ordered the surf and turf, and he's like, oh, do you like lobster? Okay, let me take care of you. And he... Because you can order a double lobster tail, or a surf and turf, or just a lobster tail,
right.
And he just added on a double lobster tail.
Jeez.
So I had two lobster tails and a steak, and then my friend had the other lobster tail, and he got really full because he had the clam chowder, which also looked really good, but it was super rich,
right.
Very heavy cream.
Yeah. Meal in and of itself.
And
you had just come from.
Sushi. No, that was lunch.
Okay.
So, yeah, that evening, I think, was the only time we didn't go to sushi because we were still full, and then we barely were able to eat at the restaurant that we actually booked. But that was probably the worst restaurant. It was the Southern Comfort one. It was okay. It was like the Mason Jar,
I think
it was called.
I'd like that.
It looked okay. A lot of buttermilk biscuits and comfort food like that.
Which I like.
I was still pretty full.
Yeah.
And then they have a Alice in Wonderland themed restaurant, which felt very Disney-ish.
Yeah, that's the one I'd be most excited for.
There's a guy dressed up like Mad Hatter walking around. And cool, weird gastronomic food there. That's really fun. Lots to drink, lots to eat. Lots to do.
Yeah.
I didn't even get to do half the stuff. I didn't go surfing.
Right.
I didn't do the climbing wall.
Sad.
I didn't even do the dry slide because the day we were going to do it was bad weather.
Oh, okay. But you did do pickleball.
I did do pickleball, which is fun. You can do that anywhere, though.
I know, but you did it.
And the shows were very good as well.
Mm-hmm.
So I wasn't sure what I would think of a Royal Caribbean. It is considered a family-friendly cruise line. And obviously, I wasn't there with any family. But it feels like there's something to do. I think it's family-friendly because there's something to do for everyone.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to sit around and drink your face off, you can absolutely do that. And feel,
as you found out.
And feel completely, like, you're completely enjoying it. The first night was, like, a super big party atmosphere. And at midnight, they basically have, like, a New Year's party as part of your sail away. Like, you have a sail away party when you're actually sailing away. But the first night, they do a balloon drop at midnight.
Fun.
And it felt like New Year's. Cool. Like, it felt like a New Year's party.
Yeah.
And from what I remember, anyway.
I was told.
And the private island was an absolute highlight. So.
And you did the adults only section on the private island.
I did do the adults only section, which is, they just opened that at the beginning of the year.
Mm-hmm.
So it's quite brand new and it feels, everything is like in good shape, of course.
Right,
but,
of course.
The adults only section was really cool. The beach is quite nice. The ocean, if you're like looking to snorkel, it's not that because it's barely open to the ocean. It's very protected little cove.
Right.
Man-made kind of bay area.
Right.
But it's nice, refreshing to go in the cool ocean water after being hot.
Yeah, baking in the sun.
Baking in the Florida and Caribbean sun.
Yeah.
And then there's a nice DJ pool party mm-hmm. going on and, like, excellent drinks.
Would you recommend the adults-only section again?
If you're adults-only, I would say if you get yeah. a good deal, like, don't pay full price. When they were first selling tickets to it was, like, $60 a person mm-hmm. or something like that. I think I got it for $25 Canadian.
Oh, okay.
Because when you get your access to your Royal Caribbean account and you've signed up with a Canadian credit card, it automatically converts everything that you buy
nice.
To Canadian dollars right off the hop, so you don't have to try and do the math.
Right.
And yeah, that was, it ended up, I got it on sale for $25 Canadian. Absolutely worth it for that.
Right. Okay.
But if you don't, if either you're with kids or don't feel like paying extra, it's a huge island.
Right.
There's lots to do, lots of nice beaches.
Nice.
You'd be fine.
Yeah.
But I really, really enjoyed that. I did go, I'm not even going to talk about St. Thomas. If I ever had a cruise itinerary, because I think I want to go cruising a lot
yeah.
more now. If I ever went on a cruise itinerary that took me back to St. Thomas, I'd just stay on the boat.
Okay. Good day to do that, then.
Yeah. St. Martin was very nice.
Mm-hmm.
The main beach was within walking distance, and it was quite a nice beach. The water was gorgeous,
awesome.
Gorgeous color. The sand was really nice. They have like kind of like a main touristy strip where they have like lots of jewelry stores, lots of tacky
mm-hmm.
tourist stores, whatever. You can shop. That's kind of fun.
Like
cruise ports, they typically have like kind of similar stuff
right.
all the time. Kind of interesting to look at. And then like the main street that's facing the beach is just like bar after bar after bar, Caribbean bar.
Right.
Cool bars and then just beach chairs wherever. A lot of the bars have their own beach chairs where you can like buy a bucket of beer and sit a beach
Sounds
chair.
Sounds great.
Yeah. So I would probably do that the next time I
yeah.
went to St. Martin. But we spent a lot of time at the Yoda Guy Museum, which is super random and awesome. And that was really cool. You
yeah.
should look it up. It's basically one of the main guys that worked on a lot of props, especially the Yoda animatronic.
Hence the Yoda guy.
For the Star Wars films. And he did a few other
mm-hmm.
movies as well. And he's also just a movie buff. Like he has a movie memorabilia collection for things that he didn't work on as
right.
well. And he's turned it all into a museum and his home in St. Martin. And, and now he dabbles in art and he's like a painter and
Very
stuff.
Cool.
And he sells his painting as well.
That's just like a cool guy though.
He's a cool guy and he's like super friendly. He's
yeah.
he's there. He runs the museum. It's just him and his wife, and they both love to talk, and so you can like talk their ear off, and it's fascinating.
That's cool.
So anyway, that I highly recommend that, and St. Martin mm-hmm. as like kind of a fun beach thing as well. And I also recommend drinking a lot.
Did you like the drink package?
I made very good use of the drink package. the math works out. Like, drinks on a Royal Caribbean ship are quite expensive.
Mm-hmm.
Most of them are. Beer is probably like $8 US, and then like the cocktails are 14.
Right.
And if you have a drink package, anything 14 or less is included.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why they price everything that way, whatever. So quite expensive to buy a la carte. And the math works out that if you're paying like a regular price for the drink package, and I think I got it on a decent sale,
right.
You need to do 6 drinks a day to make it worth it.
Okay.
I think I was done that within the first 2 days. You're laughing like I'm telling a joke.
No, I'm not. I'm laughing because I know it's true.
and that does extend to the private island.
Right.
So I was drinking a lot on the private island as well. Mm-hmm. It was a 7-day cruise, and we only had the 3 ports, one of them being the private island. If it was a very port-heavy cruise, it might be a little tougher.
Right.
If you're gone for a solid chunk of a bunch of days.
Right. If you did again, though, you would stay on the boat for one of those ports.
Well, like, yeah, it all depends.
Yeah.
But you're still, even so, you're not going to be in the port for more than 6 hours
right.
ever. So you still have your evening. I don't know. I like to drink, so I would say drink package for sure. And there's lots of bars, lots of things to do, lots of live music.
That's cool. I like stuff like that.
Lots of stuff to do. I very, very much enjoyed the Wonder of the Seas, and I would go back on the same boat again.
Yeah. Take me?
I would take you and bring some seasickness gravel. Medication. I don't want to hear you complain. It was such a big ship. Like, most of the time, I couldn't even feel like we were moving.
Mm-hmm.
We departed St. Thomas quite late in the day because we didn't get there till, like, it was all, that was the schedule.
Right,
we didn't pull in till, like, about noon, which was nice. You got, like, a pool time in the morning that day right. and everything, but we didn't pull in till noon, and then we're supposed to leave at, like, 6, and I didn't even know, like, because it was dark.
Right.
Couldn't even tell that we had left.
Okay.
Like, I was like, we should have left by now. Are we leaving? I guess we are. Okay.
Okay. All right. That's good. Because that's the thing I'm always nervous about.
Yeah. So you do get motion sick. Yeah. It was very calm seas. We actually were in the middle of a thunderstorm, but the seas weren't very rough.
Okay.
So I don't know.
Maybe the big ship is the key for me.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a big Disney ship.
The newer ones are bigger.
And more expensive.
Yeah. That is the way it goes. The bigger the ship, the more expensive it is. Funnily enough. Bigger and newer. Like,
yes.
And, like, they seem to just be building them bigger all the time. Yeah. So, there you go.
But now you want to go on another cruise.
I do.
Yeah. And you want to go back to Universal.
Velocicoaster. Can I just buy the Velocicoaster pass? I'll ride that 20 times in a row.
Yeah. You had a great time, though?
I did. I think my liver has recovered. Finally.
Been a few weeks. Like I said what I said.
Yeah. I didn't sleep. I didn't sleep a whole lot on the cruise. I was up probably till 2 a.m. or later every night. The pizza place is open 24 hours. Mm-hmm. And I think a few other things are. The bars do close. Thank goodness.
Good thing.
but there's a club open every night. Mm-hmm. They transform one of the little theaters into a club every night, and and that's open till probably 2-ish,
yeah.
Which is probably why I went to bed at 2 every morning.
You had a good time.
I had a great time.
Ate good food, drank lots of drinks.
Yeah, now I'm getting hungry thinking about
all the food.
Sushi.
Well, we don't have sushi here. I'm glad you ate so much seafood and sushi.
That was
because
kinda,
I know that's something you don't have with
that's
me.
That's kind of was my thought process as
yeah.
well. Yeah.
Like when we go places, I will go to sushi places, but it's never the focus. I don't eat seafood.
Yeah.
The
seafood restaurant did have like a chicken dish or
something. Yeah, which
something.
I'm always fine to go to those places.
Yeah.
I just don't eat it. So I know it's always kind of like weird. And yeah. So I'm glad you got lots of
it. Oh, I would be making you, if we went on that ship and I had a dining package, we would be going to the seafood restaurant.
Yes, totally fine. And I would have the chicken.
You'd have to find something. Well, you can always go to the buffet later. I don't care. I'm getting the oysters.
Most restaurants have a vegetarian option, if nothing else.
I got my money's worth on the dining package on the lobster and oysters that
just
day.
Just that one day alone. Yeah.
Because that stuff's expensive.
Like, oh, yeah, for sure. So that's awesome. I think that's awesome. Do you have anything else to add for this?
When's our next cruise vacation?
Not for a long time. Well, that's our show this week. Thanks, Elmule, who's responsible for the custom theme song you heard at the top of the show. You can find a link to his work at our website, disneya.wixsite.com/podcast. That's also where you can find a link to our social media accounts and our email. You can find us on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter/X, whatever it's called now. You can find Disney A episodes on all of your favorite podcast streaming platforms and on our YouTube channel, Adventures A. If you've rated or reviewed our podcast, thank you, and if you haven't yet, you probably should. Algorithms.
Hmm.
Next episode, I'm talking about my trip.
Yay! Hopefully it won't be as long because we won't have as much news to talk
about.
No,
we won't have as much
news. We didn't even talk about all the MCU stuff that's going on, so.
We can talk about that for news next week.
Yeah.
Yeah, because yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, we mostly just talked park stuff.
Yeah.
So, I'm Krista.
I'm Brandon.
And until the next adventure, TTFN, ta-ta for now. Thanks for listening to Disney A.
I remembered how to do it.
You did.
It's been a long time.
Super long time.